Hello, everybody.
Hello. And I have checked. We are actually recording this time for Super Laties episode 8, part 2.
Yeah, 8.1 or 8.1.
You did not miss the first part or the original version because I can't find it. I'm not saying it didn't record.
See, people missed this. Now that people haven't heard this, they missed a story about your air conditioning in your hotel room being like set on like 59 degrees. So what I'm thinking is whatever ghost was in your hotel room that did that is somewhere listening to our podcast.
They liked it so much. They enjoyed me talking about the ghost in my hotel room that made it 60 degrees. So yes. Amongst the deep South summer, I was curled up in a blanket with a glass of rum while we podcasted. And I'm sure it was totally the ghost of the 60 degree room and not the rum.
I think so.
Because it wasn't like I was drunk. It wasn't that exciting, guys. You didn't miss a drunk Rhiannon podcast.
No, probably I would come across as more the drunk person, but whatever. That's just me.
So you didn't miss anything better. We promise that this recording is going to be so much better than that other one because it was a really low bar.
Yeah, we just stepped over the bar.
There was a point like halfway through the podcast where Shelby and I were kind of like, oh, fuck, this is going to take a lot of editing.
Yeah, just take that all out.
And it was, we had recorded it on Thursday, which was when we had planned to go see Suicide Squad. And Shelby, you weren't able to go.
I was not able to go Thursday. I went Friday.
And I decided I would prefer to podcast than to go see Suicide Squad. And also, the reviews had come out, and I was like, I will totally save my money and just go catch a matinee. So, Shelby, was that the right choice?
That was the right choice.
Awesome.
That was the right choice.
Awesome.
I'll wait. We won't talk about it too much. I'll wait till you see it. And if you wait, like, a really long time, that's cool. I'm not gonna shit on it, like, just for the sake of shitting on it. There are good things about it. There are exciting, colorful, pretty things. The music's good. It's a bad movie. It's bad. It's not a great movie. It's not. I can't make it be a great movie. I even when it got over with, I turned to the people I was with and I was like, okay, this movie may have been more entertaining than Batman versus Superman, but I almost want to say the story, and let me be clear here, both plot lines are hard to follow and make zero sense in both movies, really. I think the plot line in Batman versus Superman was a better story. That's not saying a whole bunch.
I never saw Batman versus Superman.
Okay too.
But what worries me about this is that, like, I mean, I watched the previews for Batman v Superman, and I was like, I don't want to watch that. Like, there's nothing about it, which we talked about last time. That perhaps maybe I just don't like Batman. But
there's a good bit of Batman in this movie. There he is.
Oh.
Yeah, in Suicide Squad. He's in there. He might even be there in Batman. I mean, in Suicide Squad as much as the Joker, like screen time. There's not a whole lot of Joker.
And Jared Leto has been saying a lot about that. I mean, like, he's been saying that they did a lot more Joker and it all ended up on the cutting room floor.
I don't know what DC's trying to please too many people. I don't know what audience they really are even gearing this movie toward. I don't know. If you've seen the trailer, the trailers are great. They're good trailers. They're some of the best trailers probably ever made. It's like a big music video. The whole first 20 minutes, I don't even know how many songs they play while they're kind of giving you the introduction to all these characters. There's a song or two for every character that they go through. And it's a little video montage and words on the screen and Amanda Waller, you know, explaining who these people are, voiceover things, all while this like music video soundtrack play into why they're so bad. And then it kind of goes into like 20 or 30 minutes of CGI stuff. It's whereas Batman versus Superman, you couldn't wait for the fight scenes because you were tired of them standing around talking. In yeah. this movie, it's like fight scenes are thrown in amongst the talking, and you really want to know more about these people. Like, the Enchantress is kind of supposed to be the big bad, and you don't even really understand that. It's messy. It's chopped mm-hmm. together. You can tell they went back and redid some shit, and yeah. Wow. I don't need to see it again.
Did you like the soundtrack?
The soundtrack is great. The Jared Leto is probably, I won't say my favorite Joker, because to me they're all different.
Yeah.
He's probably the best straight from, like, out of a comic book page, out of a comic book panel, the best comic book Joker.
Yeah, I mean, because I would say Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger, neither of them were very, well, maybe Jack Nicholson's Joker, but they were, I mean, Heath Ledger's was very, they were both very real people.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, they were Jokers, but they were very grounded.
Right, right. Well, just like, you know, you take a Frank Miller story, you take The Dark Knight, and, you know, it is a very grounded story. And this is more, this is comic booky. And Jared Leto makes it, he's a great comic book Joker. No, zero problems with Jared Leto or anything he did in that movie. I don't, he's damn sure not the reason why the movie is so bad. It's, you know, and Will Smith, he does his thing. You don't buy into any of it. Not really. You don't. They don't give you enough story or enough time with these characters to believe that here are these bad guys and they bond so quickly and we have all this camaraderie and yay, we're going to do it for each other and for the world. You don't buy into any of that.
That's the problem with introducing all of these villains, introducing the ensemble movie before you've had the movies that introduce you to them slowly. Like, maybe had four movies where you had a Joker as a villain and you had Harley as a villain and you had Deadshot.
Or a Joker Harley story or whatever, because that story really needs to be told too. That's a movie in and of itself, is the whole Mad Love Harley Joker story.
Yeah.
And these characters, you know, just like Deadshot on Arrow, Deadshot is better. None of these people are 100% like bad people. They can all be swayed and bad, do things for the right reasons and have little moments of that. But it works better when they're playing off a hero.
Yeah.
It just, you know what I mean? Like, Deadshot works better when he's playing off of Arrow. Or Arrow is kind of getting him to see, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't work for a whole lot of reasons. It made a shit ton of money this weekend. I think it's already fell off like a lot though. I mean, I don't know what it'll do next week.
It had like the highest grossing premiere in August ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, good for them, 'cause I want them to keep trying.
Yeah, I want them to keep. I do. I do.
Them, and, you know, and I have hopes for Wonder Woman. I just like my spirit. So like I was Batman v Superman. Like, I didn't care either way. And then I watched the previews, and basically just the previews did not give me any.
The trailers were kind of
for Batman v Superman. The trailers were like, they didn't do anything to convince me to go see the movie.
Yeah,
so when the movie came out and everybody was like, you don't need to see this, I wasn't upset. I was like, okay, you know, like, I made the right choice from the trailers, and everybody's telling me that's true.
And it's too long, and you do sit there for 2 hours like, fuck, can we just see Wonder Woman? Please, see that? And she's the best part of the movie. And the best part of Suicide Squad is the Wonder Woman trailer before Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, Suicide Squad bothers me because I've watched the trailers for that. And I'm like, that's a movie I want to see. I'll sit through 2 hours for that. And so I'm a little upset that they've gotten good at the trailers, but not good at the movie. So maybe Wonder Woman, they'll have the trailers and they'll have the movie.
I'm still hyped. I don't know either. I don't know what they've I don't know what they can do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have almost, and I don't want to shit on Ben Affleck. I'm not a person who shits on Ben Affleck. I don't hate on him or anything like that. I almost wish we had the standalone Batman movie before we had these things.
Yeah.
You know, give DC time to rebuild their universe. That's what they need to do. Because Marvel, like this is years in the making that Marvel's done this. Years.
Yeah.
And DC, it seems like, is trying to like, okay, let's get into this and let's rush in and go. And
well, and like they're doing it backwards. Like, let's give the conflicts. Let's give like the big ensemble cast and the conflicts and all of that. And they've never done like, here's why you should give a shit.
Exactly. I mean, I went in there with knowing the reviews were bad, but going, I'm going to try to have a good time. And I kept looking at the people on either side of me, and both of them were shaking their head the whole time. And I can't remember at what point in the movie I turned to both of them. I said, I have no clue what in the fuck they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. And my sister, like, made a point, like, here's this chick. And if you've watched Arrow or you read the comics, Amanda Waller, she is a stone cold hard bitch, okay? She gets this team together under this premise of, we need this team to like fight the fucking metahumans and shit. But there's no big bad at that point. There's nobody to, like, why? Why do you get this team together? There's no big bad. And then, of course, the Enchantress turns into the big bad. And really, all she does is stand there for the whole movie and dance. Like, it's weird. It's weird.
All
right. It's weird. But the music is good. Harley Joker scenes are good. For a moment, I even like said, "Oh God, I'd watch it. I'd watch the shit out of a Harley and Deadshot movie." They almost like that's how good Will and Margot were at trying to sell what they were trying to do. They almost made me buy into it. Hey, Will and Harley are really like, I mean, Will and Harley, Harley and Deadshot are, they could be really good friends. I buy this.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's, yeah, enough.
All right.
I give it like a 6.5 out of 10.
That's pretty high.
Well, that's just because I don't think that's high, because I would give like, you know, Civil War like probably a close 9, you know, you know, like an 8.5 to a 9.5.
So
10.
What would get like a 2?
I don't know if I've seen anything that shitty. I mean, like, I try not to be that
Covert Affairs season 5?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe
so
Fear
like
of the Walking
4 points
Fear
higher?
The Walking Dead, like a 3.5.
It's like 4 points higher than.
Yeah. Well, only because I know the effort that goes in. Like, I always appreciate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I'll go see it on Tuesday. Maybe.
Yeah, I think my nephew, but he wasn't quite as. He's like a 5. He gave it like a 5.
Yeah. Well,
I always look like that's not a passing grade. Like, that's the way I look at it. Like, I gave you a 65. That's not.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, that's a different. I mean, like, that's a solid F.
Yeah.
Right? Or D. Is it a D?
Yeah, D.
It depends on if you're on the 10-point scale. 10-point scale, you're a D. Solid D. Not even a D minus.
So, but having said that, I will throw my money at the next thing DC tries.
Well, good for
like,
you.
Like, they have not lost me. But I do worry. It does make me worry because the trailers have been good, and I'm still worried for Wonder Woman, because you watch the trailers and I don't know if you get any kind of feel as to what the movie is really about. So, but she looks badass, and I can't wait. I still can't wait. So
yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
Yay!
Little mini. Yeah, I want you to. Yes, I want you to go see it though. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Because it is.
I would not tell you to go see Batman versus Superman. I wouldn't say go watch that, because it is 2 hours pretty much of misery.
Okay. I will. I mean, if this week goes as it should go, I should be able to go see it on Tuesday.
If not, just wait till the next week or the next week.
Yeah.
No rush. There's really nothing coming out here in the next little bit, I don't think, that it'll have any like really stiff competition. So maybe, you know, it'll still continue to make, maybe at least make its money back.
But when does Lego Batman come out? Because that I've gone back and rewatched that trailer, and I'm pretty stoked about Lego Batman.
I have no idea about Lego Batman.
It's, you know, I mean, yeah, it's still Batman, so he's still like, I must save this city, robot-like. But,
I don't know.
That trailer with him having Robin and being called out. You still haven't watched the Lego Batman trailer, have you?
No, I have not. Sorry.
Yeah, I might have to send it to you because
yeah, I have not. The other thing too is DC. Like, give us an end of credit scene. That's another like spoiler, whatever. No spoiler, whatever.
Somebody said they had a mid credit scene.
They have a mid credit scene. That's it. There's no end of credit scene. DC, come on, we want that shit.
Even Ghostbusters had an end of credit scene.
We want something. Which, I mean, tell me, like Harley. Which, just say Harley and Joker will return or some shit. You know, copy Marvel. I don't give a shit.
You just know, if you're wanting, something. If you're wanting to go see a good movie, there's Ghostbusters.
I don't know if it's even still playing where I'm at. Maybe it might be.
Oh, well, listeners, if Ghostbusters is still playing in your area and you're thinking of something to watch instead of a movie that may or may not be any good, that gets, you know, barely a passing grade, not jumping the seawall. Ghostbusters. It has an end of credit scene too. I don't remember what it was. Maybe I should go back and rewatch it.
I was even reading where people had up and like walked out during this movie. Like went and asked for their money back.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because they were kind of, you know, because I've not read or watched or listened to Kevin Smith's review of it. Apparently he liked it. That's cool. I don't care. If you like it, that's great. But, you know, there were people that were commenting like, I've never gotten out and walked out of a movie, gotten up and walked out. And I did during this movie.
Well, and that's where, I mean, that goes back to me talking about the trailers, because I think the trailers set folks' expectations high. I think the Batman v Superman, it was pretty, people's expectations were pretty low because the trailers were pretty bad.
Well, if you've seen every trailer that gets put out for Suicide Squad or Batman versus Superman, you've basically seen the entire movie.
Yeah. Except for Martha. That's,
so, yeah. So DC has got to stop doing that. They need to trust in their shit just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, trust in your audience. Don't give us all of it. Don't give it all away. Because then when you see it up there and it's not kind of the way, it's so splashed together in a trailer. And when you see it finally in the scene it's supposed to be in, and it kind of doesn't, it falls just a little flat, or it's not, or maybe you've seen it too many times. There's no punch left to it at all. You're just like, okay, whatever. But yeah, okay. Yeah, enough suit.
All right. Going on to a subject that we enjoy.
Yay!
Let's
what do we want to talk about?
I don't
Daredevil
know.
Season 3. Daredevil Season 3. No, I'm just playing. Just kidding. Just kidding, people. Just kidding.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Daredevil Season 3 for 20 minutes.
Just kidding. We can touch a little bit on all the fun everybody's having at Tampa Bay Comic Con.
Oh my gosh, we have enjoyed. So Tampa Bay Comic Con has Charlie and Elodie, and everybody has been posting pictures on Twitter of taking their pictures with them and seeing them, and they have just been wonderful.
It's so much fun. It is so much fun hearing the stories, because we know, I haven't met Charlie. We know he's the nicest person like ever, like I think ever, probably ever. So just to hear people and their stories, like get to meet him for the first time, it's always fun. And the like you said, the pictures have been, he's such a good sport. Yeah. And oh God, they did two panels. And people get to meet each other. That's what I love. I love hearing the stories of fans meeting up and hanging out in line together and waiting for the panel. And it's, super jealous. Super, like,
well, I mean, which brings us to our call out. I mean, there's a chance that I will be with you and we will be at Dragon Con. I mean, you're definitely going to be at Dragon Con. I'm
definitely
a solid maybe. As everything in my life is at the moment. But
I think that's life.
If we are at, or if, anyways, you at least are going to be at Dragon Con. You have Soldier Soul to get one of those photo ops.
I did get a photo op.
And now the bar has been raised. I mean, holy crap.
Yeah, Tampa took like, I mean, we've seen photos before, like at, where were they at? Wizard, where were they? Anyway, the first little con picture, like St. Louis, I think, started coming out. And those were great. There were some great ones. And Tampa just.
Yeah,
they have. Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do to like. I don't know if we want to like pose for like a hip hop cover, like of a record. Like we're fixing to drop the hottest, like dopest record of 2016. I don't know what we want to do.
I seriously want some way to capture on picture like us passing out and him looking guilty about it. Like even if we're just all standing next to him and like collapsing on the floor and he's just like. Got this wide-eyed what the fuck look. That's my current vote. I don't know if we could pull it off.
That or we pretend to be like fucking hand ninjas or what? I don't know. I don't know. We got to come up with something.
Yeah.
I think the people that won the internet though was the couple that had Charlie hold the picture from one of his like stage performances.
Yes. Yes. No, it wasn't any stage performance. It was the stage performance where he was in the white boxers and nothing else. And that kind of makes me want to just take a pair of white boxers and hold them up.
Or just ask him, can we just reenact Harry Henry and the prostitute? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And it's and just the inscriptions he's been writing on people's pictures, it's just been great. It's been fun. Right? Melody, you can tell that she probably doesn't do this a lot, but she was beginning to like loosen up and really get into it too. And
but like this time last year, Charlie still like when he did photo ops and stuff. This time last year, he still looked vaguely uncomfortable.
Well, it's got to be the weirdest thing.
So I think it just took him some time, and now he's really into it. Maybe Elodie will warm up to it as well. I mean, with her, there's also a little bit of a language barrier,
right?
But it
is a totally weird situation. I feel for him because it's the weirdest thing when people say, "Hey, can we do this?" It's weird, and they kind of, you know, it's kind of like it's like those family photos that you took in like the 70s, 80s when you're, you know,
yeah.
When so it's, you know, or like an awkward prom photo or school pictures. They're the greatest, though. It's cool.
So
we'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something. Even if it's just for you to go and take a picture with him. If you go and take a picture with him, you might have to take a picture of me and hold it with you. So that it's.
Yes, I thought about that. Yeah. I thought about that totally. Or I'm going to pull up John Bernthal. So John Bernthal will be in our picture. I think Charlie Hall.
So he can make ugly eyes. So he can make his little I love you eyes to John Bernthal.
Yes.
Charlie does love John.
And John loves Charlie. He's great.
I love that your post this week. Like, I just want somebody to look at me like Charlie looks at John. Or no, like they look at each other.
They look at each other, and I can't remember if that was like a real thing or I sort of like edited that together. I can't remember, but
I think
way.
It was a real thing. It didn't look edited, but maybe it was.
Maybe I don't remember, but it is great. Their interviews together are the best. Are the best, anyways. But yeah, so everybody that had fun at Tampa, and you guys apparently we haven't seen video of the panel, but asked some really really good questions, and so maybe that'll get released at some.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, there was one good rundown of probably yesterday's panel that I found so far. So maybe there'll be another one from today, which evidently today is when some really good questions were asked. So I look forward to hearing all the stories. All the stories. Share all the stories.
Way to go, Tampa. Yeah, because if we have, you have put the pressure on Atlanta. I don't know that we'll get a panel or anything, but you have, like, you definitely put the pressure on for us to, like, you know, bring it.
I mean, I thought Florida in August was just crazy people, but y'all are pretty cool.
Yeah. Might have to check this out next year. Might have to do the con. Go to Tampa. I've hung out in Tampa. Tampa's a hot place. It's a hot, sweaty place. Yeah. Had some good times in Tampa, though.
I've been to Tampa, but it wasn't exciting times.
It's a long ass way. I like Tampa better than Orlando. Sorry, Orlando. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Just do. But yeah. Like so, yay!
Yay! And on other yay news, there is the one that we forgot to talk about in our San Diego Comic-Con podcast, the second one, was the Walking mm-hmm. Dead trailer.
Right! Yay! Walking Dead! Oh my god, I want it to hurry up and come back. Please come back, Walking Dead. Please, because now my Sunday nights are empty. Because Fear the Walking Dead, which is going to come back in like 2 weeks, does not fucking count.
Well, but the good thing about your Sunday nights being empty is that we can re-record podcasts that didn't happen in the past.
That's true. But Walking Dead trailer... I love the Walking Dead trailers. They get me so fucking pumped up.
Well, I gotta say that. So in the podcast that wasn't, I was catching, we're gonna podcast. Crap, I still haven't watched that Walking Dead trailer. And I rushed and I Googled, Walking Dead Comic-Con trailer. And I watched it and I was like, this is so lame. This is nothing but clips of stuff we've already seen. Nothing.
You're like, fuck it. Like, I knew they weren't going to show me who Negan nailed with the baseball bat, but goddamn.
Yeah, this is nothing but retrospect. I think I already met all these people. I'm not sure. I don't really remember that girl, but she looks a lot like somebody I met. And why are they even showing that girl? And she took an arrow to the eyeball. And when it was over, I think I started setting up the show notes before we talked or something. And I found the season 7 Comic-Con trailer. I was watching the season 6. Season 7 one got me excited.
Yeah, season 7 is, it starts off, it's pretty much just the first, minute is a montage of all the people who are in, Negan's little eeny, meeny, miny, mo row of, death. Little memories, Carl getting the sheriff's hat and... Maggie and Glenn and Michelle and Rick and fucking Daryl and Eugene and Aaron and Rosina and am I missing somebody? I don't remember. Aaron. Oh my god. Yeah. Just little video montage of that, and over Negan and his creepy little fucking voice singing, doing the little eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing again. And I think do we even get to hear the crack of the bat again? I don't remember.
I haven't rewatched. I've kind of rewatched from that part on. Yeah, I haven't gone back and watched the beginning. I've just watched the
new because
stuff.
It's hard. Because it's kind of hard. And he gives this evil laugh at the end. Oh shit, fuck.
And I'm so ADD. I'm just shiny.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. New. Ooh, new Jesus ninja. Ooh, tiger. Ooh.
Tiger!
Ooh, Carol! Ooh!
And I still have to say, Carol's line is my favorite, because you're just all intense, and then Carol's just there I don't have a clue what's going on in the most wonderful way.
Yeah! And then, I'm Ezekiel, welcome to the kingdom, bitches! And then... all and you're like, oh fuck, this is intense and shit again. And then at the end, when you think it's over, then Tara being fucking chased down by people and shit. And that's it.
Really, actually, listeners. Yeah. I mean, I don't have to put the link to the trailer in the show notes because Shelby just described it so perfectly. I mean, it was just intense. I have no idea what's going on in the most wonderful way. Intense. Run away. That's it. That's all you need.
That's it. And we're excited and we're ready. And just destroy me. Destroy me, Robert Kirkman and Scott Gimple and Greg Nicotero. That's what I want. Just fucking destroy me. Just do it. And then meanwhile, Norman and Andy can just glitter bomb the whole world.
Yeah.
The end.
Yay. That would be funny if The Walking Dead, when they finally, at the very end of the series, if they all got glitter bombed.
Or they went
everybody expects them to die, but really, just at the end, they find a place and it's a big glitter party and they're like, we found the cure, no more zombies.
What if when Negan cracks Glenn in the head with the baseball bat, nothing but glitter comes out?
Of Glenn's head or the baseball bat?
Yeah. No, out of Glenn's head. It's just glitter. And it's really not Glenn. It's like a Glenn, like, pinata and candy. Glitter and candy.
But what would be more fun is if Lucille was a pinata. And, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, he's going to kill us. He's going to kill us. And he just cracks it over somebody's head and glitter comes out and nobody dies.
Nobody dies, but you might get, like, blinded. What if the glitter just, like, went into your, like, eyeballs and, like, cut your corneas or something? Oh, it could still be. I'm thinking about how Greg Nicotero and they would like, suck. Do this.
Yeah, the audience would be like, yay, nobody dies. And then, like, there would be glitter. Like, somebody would inhale the glitter and asphyxiate. And...
Yeah. Or get, like...
Like, it would turn out to be, like, anthrax glitter or something.
Right. Get, like, some kind of, like, lung disease from it or something.
Yeah, way to kill our way to fuck up like a happy moment there, Shelby. But you probably are more likely to get hired on The Walking Dead than I am.
There you go.
Because I'm just like, yay, glitter, and you're like, but glitter with anthrax,
like glitter with like blindness and like lung disease.
I think you have a promising career writing depressing TV shows.
Well, the rumor has it, for some reason, they're going to come and film on Jekyll Island. That's the rumor now.
Yeah, where's that? Is that your house? Do you live?
No, I'm still like 2 hours away, but it's closer than Atlanta. That's closer than Sonoy, so hey.
Oh, is that near where we watched Daredevil?
Yes.
That's a real shithole.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure it's lovely. There were lovely,
well, there's
places.
Jekyll, and then there's St. Simons, and St. Simons is where all the, like, rich people live. Like, St. Simons is, yeah, and then there's Jekyll, and it, which, yeah, so I don't know. I would think that would be tougher to get, like, permits and all to do things there, but hey, Georgia is apparently, like, you can come film wherever.
Yeah. Because they looked at North Carolina and they were like, ooh, that ended badly. We let you filming people here.
We're going to do the opposite of that.
You can come, you can film here, and you can have butt sex. And we don't give a shit. You can use whatever bathroom.
I know we're trying to protect the turtles on the beach and shit, but who gives a fuck? That doesn't matter. Just come film here. We'll just buy some more turtles.
Are they hurting the turtles?
No. It's just one time. That's what Jekyll. They were trying to protect the little sea turtles, but I think they're good now. That was years ago.
Well, I mean, the sea turtles. Yeah, I mean, we protect our sea turtles. As far as I know, North Carolina hasn't started making turtle soup.
Right. They're fine.
But I'm sure that when the legislation is back in session, they'll work on it. I'll write my senator now. All right, Pat McCrory. All right, Pat McCrory, tell him I want turtle soup, and he'll probably jump on it.
Rumor has it, too, that Preacher Season 2 will also film in Atlanta.
Where does That's it film? Does it film in Texas?
I don't know where it filmed for Season
1. I looked it up. They filmed in New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Because the Preacher set, especially that old West town, in some of the early episodes, they go to this old West town. It looked just like Mezcal, Arizona, which is where they filmed back in the day, The Young Riders. It's where they filmed Young Guns. They filmed Quick and the Dead. Like, back in the 90s, it was where all the cheesy Westerns were filmed. And there's seriously, like, if you ever watch Quick and the Dead, Young Guns, Young Riders.
It's all the same.
You'll see like this generic front of a saloon. You'll see a bunch of generic stuff. And there were two studios where they did a lot of the filming, and it was Old Tucson Studios and Mezcal. Old Tucson burned down, but Mezcal was just like the saloon storefront. Anyways, I have been out to Mezcal, which is a pretty rare set to get to. It's a long story how I got a chance to go. And so now whenever I see a place and I see like an old West town, I'm like, oh my God, is that Mezcal? And these days it never is. Ever.
Aww.
It never, ever is Mezcal. I don't know why. Maybe Arizona hates filming like North Carolina does and they've run them all off.
They just hate money?
I looked it up because I was even like, it can't be New Mexico. I was like, is every single episode in New Mexico, or did they go film those scenes in Arizona? And It is all in New Mexico. So Georgia would be a big change.
Yeah, well, if you haven't watched the finale, so when you watch the finale, you'll understand.
Oh, okay.
Why they could do this, why they could change. So. Okay.
I'm probably not watching the finale until next weekend when I'm at my parents' house.
Cool. Again, no rush.
Because
no
as rush. We discussed in the Lost podcast, my dad has become sort of a Preacher fanboy.
Well, he needs to start reading the comics. He needs to read the comics with me. So,
yeah. Maybe I'll get my dad some Preacher comics and see what he thinks.
Preacher book one, and you'll be hooked because me and Brittany are now on Preacher book five. Five will come this week, and then there's only six, so I'm almost through with the whole Preacher run. I know, I'm gonna be so sad when it's over because I love the Preacher comics.
And then is that so the end, or is that just the end of Preacher? What's created? Like, are they still making Preacher comics, or are they?
I don't know. I don't know how it ends. No, okay. Not that I know of. No.
Okay. Because, like, The Walking Dead, just, they're still the making end. Comics.
But I don't know how it ends. I don't know if it ends. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're still making The Walking Dead comics. So
we'll see. I'll let you know.
Yeah, they don't know where it's going.
Yeah. No. It's not like they've did like Game of Thrones and been like, we're only doing this for two more seasons. So, which is also sad. There's only two more seasons of Game of Thrones. God damn. What is life even? What is life?
But you know, when things like that are going away, but Stranger Things are coming back. I mean, yeah, like things like Game of Thrones go away, but then we get new series. Like
we
Stranger
do get
Things.
New.
I tried to seg that pretty well, but.
I know. That was great. That was pretty good.
I tried really hard.
Stranger Things are, and you're right, and not everything needs to last forever. It's just that selfish part of me that's like, I want this to never end.
Well, I don't get that feeling with Game of Thrones. I do have that feeling with Walking Dead. It's like, I've known these people a very long time. I just want to always know how their story is. I mean, it's just, you get to the point where it's like, where are Rick and Daryl now? You know, where are they going to be next year? Where are they going to be next year? And then at some point, you won't get to see Rick and Daryl again. They'll probably be dead.
They're going to die. Yeah, they're going to die. I mean,
I'm like The Walking Dead. I don't see any way for that series to end without everybody being dead. Well, I mean, maybe they'll be the glitter anthrax, but...
Yeah, I mean, Judith may survive, but... because if Judith can't survive, there's no hope. There's no hope. Yeah. I hope. Now, meanwhile, on Fear of the Walking Dead, I hope they all die.
Isn't that bad? I've never watched any of it.
It's not fun. It's not fun. But we won't get into stuff that's not fun. But I still watch it, so there you go. Whatever.
You go.
I don't know why. I don't know why I do that.
You're like, yeah.
But I might, when it comes back this time, though, I might, like, just save them all up and then binge them. Maybe, see, some shows are just better when you watch it all at once. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah. Maybe I need to binge it. I don't think that's the problem, though. I think it's just a really, they sold the show on it being, like, we're going to show you what happened before the breakout of the zombie apocalypse. And that's really not what they did. And then they tried to, like, mirror everything that sort of happened to our group over there in, like, a short amount of time. And and you just don't like these people, and you just don't care, and you just want them all to die and, like, be replaced by new people.
So it's like The Walking Dead is the Marvel Universe, and Fear the Walking Dead is DC.
Sort of, yeah. But yeah. Don't get me wrong though. There's still things that I like less than Fear of the Walking Dead. Like there were moments when I was like, "Fuck, Preacher is even lower on my list right now than Fear of the Walking Dead," and that's bad.
Oh wow.
Yeah. You know. But like I said, I will keep on watching both. I'm still gonna hang in there and. I'm ready for Preacher season two, and I'm ready for it to come to Atlanta and film, and I'm going to go, like, hug Dominic Cooper, and
definitely.
Yeah. So what else? Oh, Stranger Things.
I tried to segue into that, and and
Stranger Things. Let's talk about something. Yeah, I love Stranger Things. Love, love, love.
So if you've been living under a rock and haven't heard about Stranger Things, get yourself to your Netflix and
cue that up. Yeah. Cue it up.
Cue it up.
And just
up,
prepare
to... it up, up, up.
Speaking of soundtracks too, it's
oh my gosh.
Netflix has a Spotify playlist for Stranger Things, and it is perfection. Should I stay or should I go? Oh, it's perfection.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show. If you're of the age group where you remember the 80s, which Shelby does.
Yeah.
And you watched movies like The Goonies and E.T.
Stand By Me. Heather.
All the little movies where you have little boys on bicycles going around and being little boys. I keep thinking of like The Sandlot. Going around and being little boys. And then it's solving mysteries.
Like Dungeons and Dragons. You know, cassette tapes, rotary dial telephones, tube socks, you know, and windbreakers.
Yeah. And then just throw Stephen King in the mix.
Yeah.
Because it Stephen King isn't officially affiliated with the movie, but he definitely endorses it. Or movie, TV show. Or it's 8 episodes on Netflix.
It's 8 episodes, and it's like the little show that could, because I watched the trailer.
Yeah.
Back before the hype started. And me and Brittany were like, this looks pretty cool. We're gonna have to check this out. And then it kind of just exploded.
Yeah.
Like by word of mouth it just went viral.
I mean, did everybody just watch because of Winona Ryder?
I really, honest to God, just think, if anything, the Winona Ryder part of it was just curious. Let me watch this trailer and see what Winona Ryder's been doing. Like, how does she even look now? And then the trailer, you're like, this is creepy and cool. I want it. Yeah.
The funny part to me is, like, when I was watching, a bunch of people have been like, Winona Ryder, Winona Ryder. And that was just, like, it. Just, like, Winona Ryder, ! And so, like, as I was watching, I was like, is that Winona Ryder? Is that Winona Ryder? Will I not recognize her when she's on screen? And when she was, I did. But it was just I kept seeing other people and I'm like, is she supposed to be playing a teenager? Because that's just wrong. I don't think that's her. Is that mother her? Because wow, I didn't think she would look like that when she got older, but whatever. And then when they finally showed her, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's Winona
Ryder. Oh, yeah. And if you had any doubt, when you hear Winona Ryder talk, Winona Ryder has one of those voices that that you just never forget. But I don't know. It's just like that little show just found people at the right time. I mean, because you might release it this time next year. And nobody care. I don't know. It just found everybody in the right moment.
And it just touches so much nostalgia. And it gives you mystery. And it gives you supernatural without being creepy and without being scary too much.
Yeah, there's some creepy stuff, though.
I mean, but did you, like, go to bed worrying about monsters?
No, I didn't. But what it did was, if I had watched this as a kid, it would have creeped me out. It was the things when I was a kid would have creeped me out.
Yeah, but...
Like, there was a whole, unsolved mystery, like, alien abduction thing that would come on and would...
Oh, yeah.
That's the stuff that would scare... That's the shit that would scare me.
See, I was always afraid I was going to still freak me out. I mean, like, I'll watch those and I'll still, like, go to bed and be like, did I hear a thing? Is it coming to probe me?
Alien abduction, I'm still scared of that.
Yeah. It's just
enough of everything. There was just enough, and like I said, maybe if you in the other podcast that disappeared, that maybe the aliens got it.
Maybe the aliens.
Oh shit! Our other podcast is in the upside down.
Oh my god!
Upside down,
Brianna. If our other podcast is here, give us a sign.
It's in the upside down. Oh my
god! If our other podcast is here, Give us a sign.
And it's gonna, the lights are gonna flicker, and it's gonna say, "I'm right here."
I'll go start drawing on the walls.
Oh shit! Hang up your Christmas lights.
Here.
But
oh shit, yeah, hon! I'm a good old fashioned redneck. My Christmas lights are always up. No.
You gotta get those with the bulbs, though. Those are like fire hazards now, I'm sure.
I was in West Virginia before I was in Louisiana, I was in West Virginia. And my dad took me to this park where he used to hitchhike when he was a kid. And they had, like, all the Christmas lights up. Like, the stand. You could tell that they had, like, a big Christmas light display and everything, and it was just all still up. And I was like, Dad. Because,
yeah. Those things get so huge. Why would you want to take it down? I'd leave it the fuck up, too.
I don't know, because it's not like Santa World, and it was, like, middle of summer, and kids were coming there to swim in the pool. I don't know. I just teased. Yeah, I had to tease my father over them leaving the Christmas lights up year-round at the county park, where he used to hitchhike, like, 10 miles to go to a park
like,
as a kid Christmas. Because they had a pool.
Right.
Which, stranger's things type thing that they would, I could see those little boys. Yeah, so I'm glad my dad didn't find the upside down.
Yeah, but, you know, Christmas lights are kind of like glitter. They're just happiness. So,
they are.
I kind of liked when she strung them all up. I was like, fuck, I want my house like that. I want to ride I don't want to ride on the walls and, like, create, like, a fucking Ouija board on the wall. That's okay. But the Christmas lights all strung up all over the house was cool as shit.
Yeah, I like
as long as you're not trying to communicate with people in the upside down.
Yeah,
is that would
I like there was somebody on Twitter that like went to some hipster bar and they had like the open lights, they had like lights strung across like the tables and they were like, holy shit, this bar is so hipster, they've done a Stranger Things decor.
But it's great, people. It really is. And really you is. Don't have to understand all the sciencey stuff because you care enough about the people involved. That doesn't even matter.
I mean, well, and that's the thing to me. Like, it was just the right amount of mystery. That, to me, it was just the right amount of mystery. Like, everything just sort of stayed unknown just long enough. They didn't, when they explained it.
They didn't drag stuff out. They didn't drag it out.
Yeah, and when they explained things, it wasn't like, okay, now I'm going to dumb down and tell you every little detail. You know, it was the pesky kids in the arcade
I love that it was always pretty much explained on the kids level, on like the 10 to 12 year old level,
without being like written out, like it was explained on the kids level because the kids figured it out, but and the adults treated the kids like real people, and yet they were kids and they made mistakes and they ate Eggo waffles and
Waffles. Oh my god, yes.
Just the Duffy brothers did everything right on this.
Duffer.
Damn it.
Duffer brothers, but yes, no. The Duffer brothers did. It was great. And it does end on a sort of cliffhanger, sort of kind of, you know, you can take it however you want to.
The Duffer brothers from Durham, North Carolina. Right down the road. Well, I mean, I'm in Durham. Like, they literally went to the high school down the road from me right now. I just had to throw that out there before you went and spoiled people on how it ended or anything.
No, I'm not going to know. I was going to just say there's probably no doubt going to be a season two, but I'm one of those people that I don't care if they continue this story or they move on to something else. I really don't, because this is perfect. So,
well, and were you the one that told me, or did I see it somewhere, that they plan to let people sit with the season a little bit?
That's what they said at the TCAs.
Okay.
They're going to just let the show breathe for a little while before they announce it. But I think we all know.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's going to be another season of it. Because,
I mean, Netflix gives everything another season usually.
Well, and unlike the DC universe, we care about these people.
That's right.
I mean, I don't care if it's another Stranger Things show. Give Eleven her own show. And I'm not one. I mean, you know, like my big thing is don't give people their own show. Let them, you know, be a part of an ensemble or whatever. Fuck that. Give Ellie her own show.
Yes, give Elle her own show. Give Dustin his own show.
Give Eleven a show and have her meet up. Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Oh, my God. Fucking A, Shelby.
What's that? What? What are we going to do?
So, Eleven.
Yes.
Goes and becomes Ellie.
Oh, yes.
And grows up Electra. To be Electra.
There you go.
I can see it.
Yes. I can see it. Crossover. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, I think the next season two is nothing but them unlocking curiosity doors. That's all they're going to be doing. Unlocking all the curiosity doors. That's one of my favorites line. Why are you trying to keep the curiosity door locked?
I know.
I love you, Dustin. Dustin has my heart.
Oh, and you see friendships forged and broken and repair and make up and conflict and they make up and
boys and girls
and boys and are being boys and girls are being girls and they're figuring out if they like being boys or girls.
Yeah, there's no like, let me post this on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. It was just
I love it. Like, there's one phone in the house and when it breaks she has to go to the store and buy another goddamn phone.
Another phone. Yeah, or when you're calling looking for somebody, you have to find a pay phone to call. Yeah, it's good. I assume everybody's watched it by now. If you haven't,
go watch it.
Eldon Henson said it was the best show, not on Netflix, but like on TV. So
yeah, and I mean Netflix liked him saying that so much that they threw him in the Defenders. So. Yeah, you know, Netflix Yay! Is like, yes, Eldon. Yes, Eldon.
Did he say that at the Comic Con he was at? Where did that news come from?
He said it at a con. Which con was it? Whichever one was last weekend.
He's been in like London. I don't know.
No, it was before he went to London. It was I don't remember. But somebody that was at that con posted it on Tumblr. That he said he was going to be in the Defenders, and
yay!
And I picked it up, and then it became news on the MCU Exchange, and then like all the other sources got it from the MCU Exchange.
Because I have read today that Jeff Loeb was misquoted, and that Misty Knight has not been confirmed that she is going to be an Iron Fist.
Okay, all right. So a quote that came out. So Jeff Loeb supposedly said Misty Knight was going to be, or I can't wait until you see what she does what in she's Iron Fist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that ran. All right. So here's the thing on that. So that ran. And then the original source came back later and was like, we have corrected it. Jeff Loeb said, you know, we can't Luke wait Cage. To see what she's doing in Luke Cage. The thing is, though, so again, at the MCU Exchange, we reported it. And we tagged Simone Missick, who's playing Misty Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we reported this article saying she was going to be an Iron Fist. And she liked it.
Well, she can probably neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I know. Like, but she did. I mean, like, I don't know. And even the retraction, I was reading it, and it was kind of weird. It was kind of, I think Jeff Loeb slipped up. I think, I don't remember, like, how it actually, the whole course of events, but I think Jeff Loeb, I mean, bless him, he keeps shit ton of secrets.
Yeah.
I think he slipped up. I think he said something about Iron Fist, and I think they made him do a retraction. I think the Hollywood Reporter was the original source. So, yeah. You know, they're tight with all the studios. They get those early, you know, they're a very early announcement site. They get those announcements early. They want to maintain those relationships. I think they came back and said, you need to fix that quote for us. I think they fixed it. And I think it originally came out because it was true. That's just me, Rhiannon.
I just want it to be true. Yeah. I, like, want it to be true. I don't know if it will be. And I don't know if, like, because they still have probably 2.5 more months of filming, so she could still show up in Iron Fist even if she hadn't at this point. So
right,
I want it to happen. I want it.
And I want, I mean, I'm going to write an article for the MCU Exchange this week, I think, about how, I think I'm writing it. We'll see. I might, yeah, scrape popcorn off my ceiling instead. But about how I would prefer to see, I mean, I'm really looking forward to Luke Cage, and I'm really looking forward to Iron Fist, but there was the news about Misty getting, or Misty being in Iron Fist came out when Jeff Loeb was talking about the potential of her getting her own show, getting a Misty Knight show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where he said, you know, I'm really liking the work she's doing, blah, blah, blah. We're not talking about her getting her own show, but, you know, it could happen. You know, same BS line they just give on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that I would prefer to have a Heroes for Hire. Give us Luke, Danny, Colleen, Misty. I would rather have that than a season two of Luke Cage, a season three, a season two of Iron Fist, a season one of Misty Knight, you know, like, I don't care to see all these individuals. I mean, bring them. Well, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, but I know, and I'm not ready to go there yet. You are, and I know I won't. I do want Heroes for Hire. I do, yeah. But I want to see these individual shows before I say I don't want more of that.
So you would prefer to see a two of Luke Cage, a two of Iron Fist, and a one of Misty Knight, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know that I want Misty to have her own show yet. I just have to see where these other two shows go and how the Defenders works out. Before I make a call of, you know, I trade off season two of Iron Fist and Luke Cage for Heroes for Hire.
I mean, but it's not just that I want Heroes for Hire. I mean, it's that I would rather have a bunch of seasons of Heroes for Hire than have to wait 3 years.
Yeah, you're just worried that they're not going to be able to handle all these shows. And I think we talked about this in our Ghosted podcast.
Is that where we talked about it? Sorry. No.
I was gonna say we talked about the Netflix timeline. We didn't talk about Misty or Heroes for Hire, but we talked about how they wanted to make these shows quicker and how quick they could possibly make these shows.
Oh, that's
and
right, we did talk about in our Ghost podcast. We
talked about that a little bit, and yeah, I don't know. Look, I know I'm being selfish when I want more. I know this. And Daredevil's where my heart, like, truly is, so I always want more Daredevil.
Yeah, that's without saying. No matter what, I want more Daredevil. And I mean, he's just a loner. And so that's what, I mean, like, I don't see Daredevil teaming up in a show with any of the others. I mean, I don't see, turning...
not Heroes for Hire.
Yeah, I mean, like I think Defenders will be Defenders, and I think if there is a Heroes for Hire, he might occasionally show up there. Just as I think after the Defenders, any of the other guys showing up... I mean, I think after the Defenders, crossovers are fair game. You can expect to see anybody anywhere. But I don't see Daredevil ever being a show that... And maybe it's just my fanishness, just like, I want Maddie all alone. And maybe I'll feel the same way about Danny, but...
Yeah, I know, I don't know. Danny, I've read so much Luke and Danny that's, they just go... It's almost like, to me, Luke and Danny are almost like Matt and Foggy. You can't have one without the other. Oh my God, and I've completely finished, since our Ghosted podcast, completely finished Frank Miller, Volume 2, Visionaries. That Daredevil,
awesome.
I finished that. That's great.
I want the show notes. It's already there.
I want that all to happen. I want Matt Murdock to like lose his radar. I want Elektra be on the sidelines, like wanting to kill him, but at the same time wanting to help him. Mm-hmm. I want Stick to like tell him like, no, you can get this back here, shoot this fucking bow and arrow, and Matt be like, no, I can't fucking shoot a bow and arrow, and yes, you fucking can, and I want that. And yeah, I want it bad. I want it in the Defenders. I want it. I want it. I kind of want Elektra to sort of, I don't know if I want her to be part of the hand and the villain, or I don't know if I want her by this point to sort of be like come back to life and maybe leaving the hand and sort of being her own hired assassin. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what I want, but I just want it. I want it all. I've read that. I'm still reading. Oh God, Mark Waid. He gave me so many feels this weekend too. I've been reading more volume 3. Yeah.
Well, and that's what, so in the Ghost of Podcasts Lost, We talked about, we didn't talk about Mark Waid as much as where Rhiannon got distracted on the way to Mark Waid.
Yes, we talked about Reborn. We got to talk about that again.
I mean, why not?
And not talk about Reborn. People, it's on MU. You don't have to. It's a standalone kind of thing. You don't have to have read anything else. You just, this is after Shadowland. You don't have to have read Shadowland to understand this. It's Matt in the desert.
It's fun. So Matt's all depressed, and he goes out to the desert to walk himself away from his depression.
He's left Daredevil behind. There's no Daredevil suit. Yeah. There's no, basically just leaves with the clothes on his back.
Yeah. And he gets tired of riding in the bus, so he gets out of the bus and he just starts walking, and he lands in the most suspicious small town in the middle of nowhere ever. And he just has, it's just an enjoyable little read. That's a good start for going to the Waid run. I mean, actually it's not. It's just, I read it before I read the Waid run. And
yeah.
I mean, it is, actually, because then it was kind of jolting, because then you go to Waid and he's in San Francisco.
Well, no, not in volume three. He's not. In volume three.
Okay, so maybe I started Waid at the wrong point. Maybe I started in volume four. You're right.
Yeah, you got to start volume three.
Right, I started in volume four. I need to get back to volume three.
Volume three is where all the feels are at.
Okay.
Volume three is Foggy's all like, why are you so like, because you know, at the end of Reborn, spoiler, at the end of Reborn, there's Matt and Foggy feels. I won't tell anybody like, but there's Matt and Foggy feels. And in Reborn, we get the black costume again. There's a blind kid. He helps out. It's just a nice little 4 or 5 issue run. Then you go into volume three.
Yeah.
Which is Matt and Foggy still, you know, working together, still doing their thing. But Matt has this new, like, I'm so happy and I'm going to be happy now.
That's right.
And Foggy going, what are you doing, Matt? There's something not right. And he keeps, and Matt's like, but you want me to be this depressed person. And I don't like him. I don't want to be that person. But the whole time Foggy knows, but that's you, Matt. This is not you. But for the first time, Matt is kind of embracing everything. There's this whole joke. Kirsten's in this one, but there's this whole joke of, is he Daredevil? He's kind of outed. Yeah. He's not outed. And he's playing with that the whole time. So there's Matt and Kirsten, like, goodness, and Matt and Foggy goodness. And yeah, there's a lot of, I think I'm up to issue like 18 now.
Okay. So. Well, and that's why, because like it was kind of jolting, because I accidentally went to four, and I was like, "What? We're in San Francisco already?" Like, I thought it segged really well. And the thing is, so like, if you've left season two of Daredevil, and you're like, "Oh, that was really depressing. Like, I need my Matt and Foggy. Yeah, I need to. Yeah, Reborn is a good way to see like Matt. He goes." He's caught up in so much shit. He's thrown his whole life away. He's like, I can't have friends. I can't be an attorney. I can't be Daredevil. Like, he's just, you know, in that Matt Murdock place. And he gets back with Foggy. Oh, shit. I just gave away.
But it's still a good little scene.
It's a Matt and Foggy, or Matt goes back to Foggy on his own because Foggy had nothing to do with it. Matt just sort of
finds himself. Right. Yeah, he goes back to the black costume. Goes back to why he's doing everything. In the Waid one I read today, this is why I love Mark Waid. It's the one where Foggy's asking Matt, like, if you could see just for a little while, like, what would you choose to see? And the whole time Matt's trying to figure out, like, Foggy's got this tape on his desk, and he's trying to figure out what Foggy's hiding and what the fuck. And it turns out all Foggy's trying to do is, there's this guy who can, like, is working on the thing to, you know, where Matt can see again. And he's got the tape of Matt's father, the last fight.
Right.
Yes. Oh. So Matt gets to watch that. And Matt's watching it. And Matt's like, who's that? And Foggy's like, that's you. You know? Yeah. And then they leave. And then the last panel's like, will this stop all the yelling in the office? And Matt's like, God, let's hope you're loud. And Foggy's like, I just want the blind guy to know where I am. And he's like, I always know. Oh, my God. See? Wade, Mark Wade. Yeah. This is before San Francisco, before it got a little nuts in San Francisco.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will properly start the Wade run again soon.
You'll love it.
Because it's nice to, God, and I didn't like the Wade run the first time I read it, and now I am liking it, which makes me wonder if one day I'll go back and reread the current run, where you finally got the most recent issue.
Oh, God, yeah, we got to talk about that for a second. Can we just sum it up? Spider-Man. I mean, that's
Spider-Man. Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, in the show notes from our ghost podcast, I have about 4 lines of how you never got your issue, and then we went on to talk about Reborn.
Yeah, I'm too tired to even, like, go into that. It took, like, 2 weeks to get this issue. I bought it digitally, then I got it, like, the next day, and whatever.
And then we started talking about you needing a comic book shop, and then somewhere we got to fluffing the foam pit.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Just for those of you that are worried that you might have missed really fun stuff in the other podcast, that really wasn't, I mean, yeah. So Shelby needs to open a comic book shop.
I need a comic book shop. I need to either open one or somebody to open one for me so I can get these comics on the day.
But we decided that her little small town wouldn't support a comic book shop, which it might. So we decided that it also needed to sell porn and possibly snacks.
Porn and potatoes and pops, like pop vinyls. That's what we decided.
Oh,
porn, pops, and potatoes.
Vinyls. That makes more sense. Porn, pops, and potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah. And comics with an X at the end, because comics are kind of porn sometimes.
So investors, just send your money to Shelby. Because how can you lose money with porn, potatoes, and pops?
Or Marvel could just hire me and there.
Yeah. And our role for Marvel is going to be assisting the stuntmen by fluffing the foam pit.
Oh, God. Why did you?
I loved that idea.
It is pretty great. Because, I mean, you can't, you know, it gets squished down. Somebody's got to go in there and, like, fluff it back up, right?
Right, I mean, so I have an environmental engineering degree, and in such, I had to take a class on trash. I had to take a class on shit, trash, air, just anyways, environmental engineering. Don't do it, kids.
And they taught you how to fluff the foam pit.
I don't remember much that I learned in college, but I do clearly remember somebody saying, foam in a landfill is a bitch because those things always bounce back.
Oh, so they don't need fluffing.
Yeah, they don't need fluffing. But we won't tell Marvel that. I mean, we know they're not listening.
I'm sure there's something I can fluff.
Marvel, if you're listening, we totally need to fluff that foam pit.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Fluff something.
If any of the stuntmen are listening, the stuntmen. I discovered Chris Hemsworth's stuntman this week.
That was great.
I don't remember, but there is an adorable. I don't remember where I found it. It won't be in the show notes because I'm not going to dig it back up again. It might have been on Chris Hemsworth. Maybe it was on Chris's Instagram.
Probably.
But it was. You know, like, his stuntman went and did, like, a trick and all that, and Chris went and did it, and he just, like, jumped in the air and came back down and then spun on the ground. And
I love his voice. He has the best voice.
Well, and his stuntman has his accent. I mean, his stuntman must be Australian.
Yeah.
Or something, because he had an accent. Which would make sense. They're filming in Australia, so his stuntman is probably a local. I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, could be. I don't know. I just know I was sad this week when I learned that Phil Silvera was not going to be doing the Defenders.
I know. As long as Brewski is still being.
I was sad about that. I was like, but sad because I'm also happy because he's doing Deadpool 2. So.
Let's go. Yeah. I'm so excited.
So, I mean, sad, but happy, but sad, but happy, but sad.
That's. Yeah. More Deadpool makes me happy.
More Deadpool always makes me happy.
I The saddest thing about seeing Deadpool was that I thought the Deadpool advertisements would stop, because that was my most favorite advertising campaign ever.
Great. Jesus. Just follow Ryan Reynolds on Twitter.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious.
It's just like having a Deadpool campaign all the time.
I love Ryan Reynolds. I love Deadpool. I am so excited about more Deadpool. And I want Deadpool to cross over. And there is... So for Deadpool 2, there is a rumor that they requested that Spider-Man come visit. Mm-hmm. Which would be the first Marvel crossover with Fox, if they decide to do it. If they work it all out. Which I don't know, you know, as far as the MCU crossing into the Fox X-Men, right. Because Deadpool is supposedly in the X-Men universe.
Right.
But, so not sure if that could actually happen. But my little thing to put on in the universe is that, I mean, one day, I mean, probably a really long time from now, Stan Lee, I don't think he's immortal, but maybe he is.
He might be. I think so. If anybody is, it's him.
Yeah, if anybody is, it's Stan Lee, because, like, he doesn't appear to be 94 years old, but he supposedly is. But one day, if Stan Lee, for some reason, can't do his Stan Lee cameo in every movie, I want a Deadpool cameo in every movie.
In every movie, that would be great.
I mean, just give him some pointless reason to pop out, say something inappropriate at whatever rating level for
just
whatever
something,
movie.
Just like in all the, like, the pops, you've got like the cowboy Deadpool, you got like the chef's Deadpool, just like, yeah, that just shows up anywhere.
Exactly. I mean, that's if there is no other Deadpool crossover with the MCU, I would just like Deadpool popping up in random MCU circumstances. That is my wish.
Spider-Man comic that's out right now is pretty fucking good. Fucking good, and it's I know at least the first issue's on MU already.
Oh.
So it's pretty fucking good. There's also, speaking of MU, I always forget to check weekly. They add shit every week and I like forget. 1975 Iron Fist is now on MU.
What?
Yes. I've started reading that. I'm like three or four issues into that. 1975
Iron Fist.
Well, it's the 70s, but
oh wait. Does Luke have a tiara? Do we see Luke?
I have not seen Luke yet. No. Oh. Have not seen Luke yet.
But Danny has like the lapels and he has the lapels all the time. But
yeah, I don't think I've seen Luke. Colleen is in this one. They're trying to track down Colleen's been kidnapped, and Misty is helping Danny.
Yeah.
Track down Colleen. So that's fun. That's always fun. I am reading Elektra Run right now. Also cool.
All right.
Yeah, I've been reading a shit ton of stuff.
You've been
bitches.
Reading a shit ton of stuff.
Still reading Brubaker's Captain America, Brubaker's Winter Soldier. So yeah. Trying to get my money's worth out of Marvel Unlimited.
You are. You're getting my money's worth too.
There's good shit. And then I'm reading continuing, and I bought Frank Miller's volume 3, because even though it's on MU. And then when I finished volume 2, I went right on into reading volume 3. So by the time volume 3 gets to me, I'll be read it all. But
aww.
Hey, whatever. It's cool. Then I'll have it. It's all good. Because my goal is to, by the time Daredevil season 3 starts, and God knows it could be 2018, that's what we're all hoping for, but it could be 2019, I want to be read like the entire Daredevil run.
Wow.
And by the rate I'm going, and probably what will happen if I do even finish the 1960 volume 1, I will just continue on reading into volume 2 again. Like I'll go right into Kevin Smith and Guardian Devil. I'll continue on and just read it all straight through again. That's my plan. Yes. So I'm in the 180s now, so it's not gonna be long.
Wow.
I know. It's so much fun though. Matt Murdock is my one true comic love.
Oh.
I know. What am I gonna do when I read it all? Oh, and then I read a really good one today was What If Electra Had Lived, and it was good too. It was good. It was all, and it was telling Matt the story, and like, this is what would have happened. And then it made Matt have like guilty bad feels, and they're like, no, you don't understand though. Your destiny is like to protect this city, and the city still has you, and go live it. I know. But he was like, oh, Electra could have lived. Because, you know. It's just Matt and his loves. Matt and his loves. God bless him. What else? What else is new?
That was everything we talked about last time.
I think that's good. We did this in a whole lot better time, too.
Yeah. I mean, there was one of our tangents that we went on that really had no purpose, but I'm probably going to bring up again some other day.
I don't remember what that was.
I'll remind you some other day, and then you'll remember, and it'll be fabulous. So keep listening, listeners, if you want to know how I embarrass Shelby more than fluffing the foam pit, which is the greatest idea.
Jesus, help me. Yeah.
So I will try to see Suicide Squad at a matinee, and I will try to read a comic or two. And
yes, use your Marvel Unlimited subscription. See,
I've been traveling the past couple of weeks, and I just haven't had good internet connections. You've ever experienced that.
That's why you put them in your offline library, duh.
I know, I didn't plan ahead very well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Plan ahead. Yeah. Or, that's why you buy the hard copy. And you have the hard copy and the digital copy.
High tech sound effects here, kids.
That's what you do. But yes, read the stuff. Read the things. Read. I just want you right now to concentrate on either reading volume one, like going back and really. I know you have a hard time with
1960.
I know.
Here's the thing. Here's my problem with reading volume one on MU. It's that there will be storylines that I'm like, this is awesome. And then the next issue isn't there. And they have given me blue balls so many times. Where I'm like, yes, Matt and Natasha, this is so exciting. I'm loving it. And we just skipped ahead 20 issues.
Yeah, it's true. That's why I had to buy them. Sorry.
I know.
I just had to.
I know.
I had to. So I mean, you can skip around and read some of that stuff, or go back and read Frank Miller stuff. Go back and read the Frank Miller stuff again. Yeah. Read the Visionary stuff. Read Man Without Fear or Born Again again. And then read Volume 3. Read Mark Waid's run.
Okay, Man Without Fear. It's been a while. I think Man Without Fear might be where I started.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's where I started,
I thought it was Guardian Devil. Maybe I started with Guardian Devil and you started with Man Without Fear. And then I was like, oh, shit, I should go read Man Without Fear. Because at the time, you were actually listening to, like, what people said. And I was just like, meh, comic books.
Well, you listened, because I'm pretty sure that's where people said, like, start with Volume 2. Start with, you know, you'll get into the Bendis stuff, you know.
Was that it? Because I was like, I think I started with Volume 2 because I was just like, woo, Kevin Smith. Or maybe it was just like, I don't know how to fucking operate this Marvel Unlimited thing. I'm going to push this button. Oh, look, a comic book finally appeared. How the fuck do I... Oh, look, Kevin Smith.
Well, I was like, Kevin Smith? Kevin Smith wrote Daredevil? What?
I know. I was... That blew my mind.
I can't wait to get back to it again and reread that all the way through. From Kevin Smith to... Bendis and Brubaker. Like, I can't wait to read all that again, because I just think there'll just be a bigger appreciation for all of it, having seen the show and having read so much other stuff and just reading it again. I'll be like, ah, fuck, I love this story. I want to see this story on the show. Give me Mila, please. Read some stuff so we can talk about some, because I will never have Daredevil 10 comes out this week and I will never have it. So,
well, but maybe my digital one will be readable.
If not, I'm tweeting Joe Quesada and I'm telling him and I'm showing him what it looks like.
I'm going to, I'll be super gentle this time.
I don't even think it's even about that, though. Well, I don't know why they're not.
Maybe I won't leave it sitting in my car and go buy groceries. Maybe the heat makes a difference.
It should. No, maybe fuck that. Like that. It should not. No, it should. Listen, it doesn't matter. As long as you're not like submerging it in fucking like water or gasoline or fucking like that, you should be able to pull the motherfucker off, whether it's set in your car or it came in the mail and you read the code.
Yeah. We should go to New York and talk to Joe about this.
We should.
Or this might even be all the way up to Perlmutter level. Like, I hear he's a douchebag, but I think he's in charge of Marvel, like the comics and the TV.
Like, it's not that hard. Just, like, make, I mean.
Like, just let us have our fucking digital comics because you're making Shelby wait 2 weeks to get her paper comics.
Well, or I don't even give a shit if it's something like, I get the book. There is a code, like, inside the book that I then have to go on, enter in, and get a code. Like, if that makes it easier, whatever the fuck you've got to do to, like, give me a code I can read. When I pull that shit off and I can't read it, I want to set fire to it, okay? But I don't because I love it too much.
Yeah. But if you do set fire to it, you usually already have a digital copy that you've paid for.
That's right. Back copies. Oh yeah. So that's I think that's about it. I think that sounds good.
I think we're both exhausted and just sort of
before we really go off on something like crazy, we can just end this here and you can go see Suicide Squad and read more things. I will read Preacher Book 5. I may order Alias Book 4. We'll see. And I'll continue to read all the good stuff in my Marvel Unlimited library because I'm going to take advantage of that shit.
As everyone should. All right.
Okay, well, people.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye, people. No, don't. I mean, no, like, bye.